Tomorrow night is fight night on ESPN. Top Rank Boxing, the main event, a junior welterweight battle between 31-2 Jose Zepeda and 17-1 Kendo Castaneda. That's coverage tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. And we are approaching the top of the hour, tentatively 9 in the morning Eastern time here in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. In our normal slot today, with First Take to come your way in its entirety, a full 2 hours coming up at 10 o'clock Eastern time this morning. And we are very busy. Our conversation will begin with football and fashion, and not necessarily in that order. We're going to get up with sartorial splendor. Cam dressed for success upon his arrival, but our former Patriot says he won't like what he's going to find. Plus, we've got the inside scoop on what the playbook looks like for Tampa Tom. You may be surprised by the plans for Brady's Bunch. And then, happy birthday to Zion. He's 20. 20! We'll tell you exactly what the future holds for the crown prince of the NBA as we get up with you, starting right now. Cam Newton is in Foxborough, days after agreeing to a one-year contract. And there he is, getting out of his car, in style, as only he can, getting set to begin his new tenure with his new team. The possibilities feel endless. The wardrobe choices certainly are, to say the least, remarkable. Here's Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots and has been covering them since 1997. So you have seen so many players and so many press conferences. And Cam, of course, is known for his acute sense of fashion. One should not be reading too much into that, I would assume. How can we expect him to fit in with this team?
Well, Greeny, here's the way I look at it. We've spent a lot of time over the last week talking about the on-field fit between Bill Belichick's Patriots and Cam Newton. It's been fun. Let's take the fun to a different level and ask these questions. What will it look like when you combine Bill Belichick's hoodie and Cam Newton's fashionable wardrobe? And what will it look like when you combine Bill Belichick's press conference approach with Cam Newton's? Can't wait to find out.
In my 24 years on the Patriots beat, I've sat through at least 1,000 press conferences with Bill Belichick. Fun times.
In the Super Bowls in the past, you guys haven't scored in the first quarter.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Sorry to remind you.
Yeah.
Do something.
Look, we try to score in every game. I know that's probably hard to understand.
Now we get Cam Newton too. What a gift for us Patriots reporters.
Hindsight's 50-50.
Yeah, hindsight's always 50-50.
How would you assess David Tepper's drip?
Drip. Okay.
Despite his usual press conference flair, Newton can be surly, like he was after a loss in Super Bowl 50.
No. Gotta outplay you, bro.
Of course, when it comes to press conferences, surly is Belichick's natural state. Look, I get it. Belichick's news conferences aren't for everyone.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati. We're getting ready for Cincinnati. And you ask a question, I answered it. I mean, I don't know how else I can put it. I can't answer that question. Sorry, we can't connect on that.
But come on, guys. Now we've got Bill and Cam. Double the fun, I think.
And when I score a touchdown, it's, oh, I love it. So
there's really nothing higher on my list than the storyline. But I can't wait to read it more.
Greeny, we're having fun here, right? And I don't have a lot of style. I asked my 8-year-old son, Nathan, I say, give me your best hat. So I think I might just put this one right on and say, what do we got?
Yes, nothing says being a Patriots supporter quite like wearing an 8-year-old's hat. That's very well done. Mike, stay with me, because I want to have a little on-field and off-field conversation. We'll bring our guys back in here. I also want everyone to see, and all kidding aside, that Cam posted another workout video on social media. And the message he put on it this time was, I'm tired of being humble. And here's some of the video. And obviously, what can you say? I mean, the guy is, he looks phenomenal. If we all looked like that working out, if I looked like that, I wouldn't own a shirt. So let's put that to the side for the moment. But I'm tired of being humble is a really interesting thing to say. Because Rob Ninkovich, you played for that team for a long time, and you understand that his you were telling us earlier, his introduction to the Patriots, there might be some humility that goes along with that. I'd love you to explain that for everyone who's just joining us.
Yeah, I just don't think that they're going to give Cam the keys to run this thing just right off the bat without coming into that building and earning the respect of his teammates and showing that he could still play at the level that we have seen him play in the past. I mean, 2015 was a long time ago. I was still in the league in 2015, and now I play plus 36 men's softball. So, again, I'm just saying that you have to go out there and earn it, because the NFL is about what you do tomorrow, not what you did yesterday. So he's going to have to go into that building and prove to everybody that he still has it, that he can still earn that starting spot, because his contract reflects him coming in as just a league minimum veteran player. Yes, he has, what, $550,000 of guaranteed money, but the Patriots have cut second-round players before that had guaranteed $1 million. So I don't think the contract necessarily shows that they're going to go in and say he's our number one instantly. He's going to have to go in there, maybe have a little humble pie and earn that starting spot. And he hasn't had to go into a position and earn a spot in a long time.
Mike Reese, quickly, I just want to come back to you. Is that your expectation as well, that even if in Belichick's mind he is anticipating him being the starter for week one, that it will start whenever it is they're actually on the field, the way Ninkovich is describing?
100% Greeny. And the one thing that I would add to the video that Cam Newton posted is the remarks he made right before that comment about that he's tired being humble. He made reference to that everyone was picking these other quarterbacks over him. Greeny, that to me speaks to his motivation. So they know that he's going to be motivated to have to and try to win that job.
So, Nick, I always like talking to you about the psychological piece of this. We all understand that if Cam is healthy, he has the physical piece of it and are sort of running over. But how about the psychological piece of it?
Yeah, I think that it benefits him. I watched the video and I got hype watching the video. When I read the quotes, I had some of the similar concerns that Rob was saying about being humble in the situation. But I don't think it's at all about Bill Belichick, or it's at all about the quarterbacks in his quarterback room or his team. I think he will arrive understanding it, has to work his way up. But it's about proving everybody wrong. And at the end of the video, he started talking about everyone else's antelopes and zebras and elephants, but he is the only lion and he's about to roar. I know that I can no longer do those things physically that I once was able to do, but Cam Newton can still do it. And I understand, Rob, that 2014 or 15 was a long time ago, but you ain't Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a different type of dude. His body's different. His mind is different. His athleticism is different. His desire is different. The video made me excited for Cam Newton. It didn't make me worry about him fitting in the Patriot way.
Yeah, he also couldn't, Rob, fit into your over 36 softball league, because he isn't even close to that. He's only 31. People forget, I think, sometimes how young Cam Newton still is. And so the motivation is there. I agree. We may be talking, Neek, not about him being humbled by playing with the second team or the third team. The humbled piece of this might be that, according to almost all of our reporting, no other team in the NFL wanted him. And that, I think, is where that motivation. We always hear about Aaron Rodgers being angry about being drafted, passed on by all these teams. Neek, maybe Cam comes back for one of those scorched earth tours we're talking about.
Right. I mean, it was a slap in the face. I understand that going into the Patriots building and maybe not being the number one quarterback on day one could feel like a slap in the face, but it's not going to feel any worse than your phone not ringing for months on end and watching other quarterbacks, including guys like Joe Flacco, get contracts when you're looking around at these guys who are getting bigger contracts to you, getting offers and getting calls, even though you know that you are much better than them. So I could understand why he has already been humbled. I don't think this, what he meets when he gets to the Patriots, is going to hurt his feelings or set him back anymore. I think he's ready to go out there and be the killer that he said that he is.
Mike Reese, if Cam Newton is healthy and demonstrates that, the fact that we are in an unprecedentedly strange time in the NFL, when there were no offseason stuff and we don't know what training camp is going to look like and there were going to be a maximum of two and maybe no preseason games, do you think those make it more or less likely that he winds up the starting quarterback week one?
Well, I could see both sides of it, Greeny, but I just think the resume to me trumps everything. We're talking about a former most valuable player who played in the Super Bowl before. To me, that's just something that Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, the other two quarterbacks, just haven't done. So to me, you got to sort of fall back on the resume and the pure talent alone, which is at another level. So I think it actually helps him.
And one more thing before we let this conversation go. Ninkovich, Mike Reese has been covering this team long enough that he covered you as a player. And I am told that there is a photo that we need to show everybody. The question is, who, Dominique, I'll let you chime in. Who wore it better, as we see the fashionable avec chapeau, if you will, from Ninkovich here. Nick, who wore it better?
I think it goes without question. First, Mike Reese needs to put on his baby hat again, and it goes without question that Cam wore it better. Obviously, Cam wore it better. Like, I mean, Cam wears everything better. That's Cam Newton.
Now, leave the hat on, Reese. Leave it on. I'm enjoying that.
Be a coward, Reese. Keep it on. Keep it on, baby.
You look like Jimmy Olsen.
I got you, Nick.
What do you think, Nikovich? What was this? What were you wearing here?
So the difference is I only own one hat like that. I'm sure Cam has a closet full of hats like that. So I give it to Cam. I would say that my beard wins, that's all. The beard is better, but the hat itself, I think Cam probably has a wider selection of hats.
This completely makes it clear why Cam wore better, because you're explaining it away. You're not leaning in with confidence. You don't believe in your hat. Yes. Cam believes in his
hat. I got one hat. One hat. That's it.
Let me just say this. When I asked who wore it better, it was a rhetorical question. Well done. All of you, thank you very much. Mike Reese, I love the hat. In fact, from now on, I'd like to request it in all future appearances. As we go on to a completely different subject, a source told our Adam Schefter that the Washington Redskins are likely to change their name after the team announced Friday it will undergo a thorough review of the nickname amid renewed pressure. The new head coach in Washington is Ron Rivera. He says he's talked with the owner, Dan Snyder, about new team nicknames in recent weeks. And the quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, has weighed in as well on Twitter, replying to some name suggestions by tweeting, "I like the Red Tails," which would be an homage to the Tuskegee Airmen. And he then tweeted a few minutes later, "That's if we have to change the name now out of my mentions." So I bring my insider here, Jeff Darlington, back into the conversation, and I see that there's a lot of economic pressure that is involved here from Nike, from FedEx, and from other places. How do we expect this to play out here reasonably quickly, Jeff?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Well, what's interesting, Greeny, is you just mentioned FedEx there. Frederick Smith, the CEO, is also a minority partner with the team. He and two others also own a 40% stake in the Redskins, along with Dan Snyder. The Washington Post and others now reporting that those three are unhappy with their relationship with Snyder and are seeking potential sale of the organization. Now, what could change in the next month? I mean, what a fascinating crossroads that Dan Snyder finds himself as, not only on the field as he tries to transition from Bruce Allen to one of the more popular figures in football in Ron Rivera, but also off the field as his minority partners seek a potential sale. If he could change the name of the organization, certainly that seemingly would go a far way in terms of the social justice. Whether it's enough to also remedy the other issues involved with these partners, we'll have to wait and see. Ron Rivera, though, I cannot overstate this enough. Ron Rivera is a wonderfully popular person in the NFL. He is the type of guy that potentially, if Dan Snyder can lean on him, that could fix things not only on the field, but also off the field for this organization.
Snyder has clung to this name. Those of us who've been following it for years have seen it. He has Been quoted at different times as saying, I will never change the name. Now I think the perception, no matter what happens, is going to be that he was forced to do it, that he was dragged along into it, kicking and screaming, if you will. So how do you expect that to play out? I mean, the league will get involved in this thing here. If you were to look at this thing and guess, do you think that if there is a kickoff to the NFL season the second week of September, they will have a different name?
I think they will, but to your point, I think you're also exactly right. Look, in 2013, Dan Snyder penned a letter to fans that made it very clear how he felt about the name. I don't necessarily see that perception changing for Dan Snyder, but to your point, when Nike, when FedEx, when your minority owners, when your head coach all come at you and basically say it's time to change the name, it's time to change the name.
It feels like it's no question. It's moving in that direction and quickly. All right, Jeff, stay close by because we have more football to go. As we continue, we have the inside scoop on what the playbook looks like for Tampa Tom. You may be surprised by the plans for Brady's bunch, and you'll see them. And then happy birthday to Zion. He's 20. We will tell you exactly what the future holds for the crown prince of the NBA. As we continue, get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up. Let's get up and go through some headlines, and they include two more NBA teams shutting down their practice facilities. The Bucks and the Kings decided to close after receiving results from recent coronavirus tests. Neither plans on reopening before they leave for Orlando later this week. We're going live into the bubble in just a few minutes here on ESPN. Meanwhile, Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman have both agreed to terms to compete in the new main event at UFC 251 in Abu Dhabi next Saturday. Masvidal stepping in for Gilbert Burns, who was forced to withdraw on Friday night. Baseball Yankees manager Aaron Boone says they dodged a bullet, his words, after Masahiro Tanaka was hit in the head by a 112-mile-an-hour line drive off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. Tanaka, diagnosed with a mild concussion, was back at Yankee Stadium yesterday. Clearly, that could have been much worse. The NBA making preparations for teams to begin arriving in Orlando in the bubble starting tomorrow. The Nets' Garrett Temple is a vice president for the Players Association. He'll be making the trip, but says he doesn't expect it to be a comfortable experience for players.
It's no way to be comfortable when you think about how far you, where you're going to be for the amount of time you're going to be there and the restrictions that you have there. We will have to adapt and, we're going to get tired of it. But in no way, shape, or form will anybody honestly be comfortable, whether it be on the court or off the court. During leisure time or not.
Malika Andrews joins us from inside the bubble, and Jay Will is back with us here. And Malika, let's start with you. You spoke with Garrett Temple. Let's talk a little bit more about his feelings and those of maybe others you've talked to who are approaching this with some trepidation.
Yeah, I mean, when I spoke to Garrett Temple on Sunday, he told me that a nervous anxiousness sums up how he's feeling about going into the bubble. And that's just because he wants to see what it's like. There is so much unknown here for these players, Greeny. And he did say that he thought very briefly about potentially not playing, but ultimately decided, both from a basketball, just career standpoint, and then also from a magnifying social justice issues going on in the country standpoint, the best decision for him was to go to Orlando and play. But he was very clear. He didn't want to conflate that confidence in his decision to go to Orlando with some sort of comfort in being in the bubble. And this is very similar to what we heard J.J. Redick say the other day, just about he's confident in his decision to play, but also there is so much going on from a health standpoint, from a social justice standpoint, an election coming up, that he just doesn't feel a sense of calm heading into the bubble.
Jay Will, for the players that you have talking to, and obviously you have so many relationships around the league, what are you hearing from players as they get set to go down there this week?
Exactly that, Greena, that Malika just said. People are anxious. There is a lot of unknowns here. And look, in reality, and I know that people say, hey, they go to their jobs every single day and they're forced to be in that. We are sending 100 of our top athletes down to a spot that has gone up 178% in the last 2 weeks in Florida. So, you know, people are concerned with that. And it, obviously, I think that changes depending upon what... You know, you heard about Mike Trout obviously having his kid. That's obviously in baseball, but in all sports, I think you have all these athletes that are trying to weigh out, you know, with all these things, with social justice, with playing and earning potential with respective leagues, but also, you know, what they're leaving at home and how do you balance that? I think it's a decision everybody, not just athletes, people in general are struggling with.
Of course. You know, Malika, if there's one question that I feel like I get a lot just from people in the street or whatever it might be, is what is life like in the bubble? What is it going to be like for these players? Well, you can actually answer that. You are in the bubble. Can you give us a sense of what it is like for you right now?
Yeah, Greeny. So I've been in the bubble officially since Thursday in Orlando since last Monday. And now that I have registered 7 negative coronavirus tests, I've been tested every day. My quarantine is supposed to be lifted a little bit later today. And essentially what it's been like for me the last couple of days since I've actually gotten to the bubble campus is I haven't left my hotel room, save for the one time a day I get to go and get tested. So my meals are actually delivered to my door every day at 8 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. Someone knocks on the door. I wait a couple of seconds to open it so everything is hands-free, contact-free, and that's how I get my food every day. And so I've been wearing this green bracelet since I got officially into the bubble, and today, now that my quarantine is scheduled to be lifted, I will trade in that bracelet for an Aura ring, which is the ring that detects early symptoms of coronavirus that players are also going to be wearing. And I will also get a device that beeps if I get within 6 feet of another person in the bubble to maintain that social distance. So far, I've really been confined to the room, but it's been an interesting experience.
And is that similar to the experience that players are going to have? When they get there, will they have that similar quarantine to begin?
Yeah, that's exactly what players are going to go through. Now, because I flew commercially, my quarantine lasted for a total of a week. Their quarantine will last 2 days while they register 2 negative tests. But yes, they will also be subject to room quarantine. Their meals will also be delivered to their door in a similar fashion. They will also be given all the same, that gear that detects early symptoms. So it's very similar to what players are going to be going through in just a couple days.
And so, Jay, well, the expectations are players are going to adhere to this closely, as Malika is, and many will. Would you expect all of the play? Look, if this thing is going to work, it is going to require everyone being on board with it. Would you expect that from the players?
I would hope so, but I also would say this and play devil's advocate. Your personal data, Greeny, is the biggest currency there is on this planet. So by wearing an Aura ring, I hear what the overall concept is, and it does work, but you're also relinquishing all that data to teams and to the NBA. Now, ultimately, that's going to be a major question that we're going to have to talk about down the line. How could this ultimately affect contracts, negotiation of contracts? There's a deeper dive here that's going to be significant conversation as it relates to data in these rings that the NBA is going to collect over the span of time that they're going to be in the bubble. This might be a new thing as well.
Yes, I've read about that, and clearly that's something, an issue that they will have to deal with at the Players Association, and we will see. But for the time being, that's what we're doing. Malika, so great. Thank you. Let's do this regularly because I think fans are fascinated to hear what it is
Absolutely.
Like inside of that bubble. And then obviously the players will get there.
Stay safe, Malika.
There. We'll see. Outstanding work, guys. Thank you both very much. Let me take a break here. When we come back to football, Dez Bryant says Tyreek Hill is the second best player in the league. Rob Ninkovich has a serious disagreement. That's where the conversation begins. Next, Get Up on ESPN. We're just getting started. What will be a busy full day of sports coverage here on ESPN. We're with you for the next half hour on Get Up and then First Take. It comes your way for 2 hours, then SportsCenter, then The Jump. And you see the 4 o'clock hour there with Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable, and Around the Horn. SportsCenter comes your way at 5. The PTI guys jump in at 5:30 Eastern and cap it off with another SportsCenter, 11 Eastern tonight. And with that thought in mind, we approach the bottom of the hour, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol today. This is Get Up on ESPN. Again, we have a half hour to come your way until First Take starts. Today is July 6th, so it's an opportunity for us to say happy birthday Zion Williamson. He's 20. I own clothing older than Zion Williamson. But we've been looking at some of his great moments here in honor of his birthday. And here are some from the NBA. This was his sort of coming out party in Summer League, just ripping the ball away. Jay Will from Kevin Knox. How about that?
I mean, he looks like Anthony Mason out there, Greeny. Just, yes. I mean, that's the strength that he has. It just shows you the difference between Zion Williamson and a lot of other players in the league.
He's built exactly like Anthony Mason, but he has the athleticism of a guard. It is remarkable. Meanwhile, yes. Here was his NBA debut, January 22nd, erasing all doubts, scoring 17 consecutive points in the fourth quarter, including knocking down threes. Jay Will, that night was magic.
It was, Greeny, and he showed his ability to shoot from the outside, and that's always been the biggest question around Zion, his touch and his form on that set shot. But if he's making shots like that, you can forget about it. This is a guy that can average over 20 points and over 15 rebounds every single night, and he'll probably shoot over 60% from the field.
I will disagree with you slightly, because to me the biggest question about him has actually been about his ability to stay healthy. And so the most important part about that moment we just showed you was that it was his NBA debut, and the little date in the top right of your screen said January 22nd. The question, Jay Will, is what are we going to see from Zion over the next month? If he comes back, the Pelicans have a lot to play for if they decide to make this important. What do you expect to see from Zion?
I expect Zion to be Zion. Look, this kid is different. And I also expect David Griffin, who is the GM, and also Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, to monitor his minutes to a degree. This is going to be a series of ebbs and flows with Zion. And it's going to be this way until he's able to sustain being healthy for a long period of time, Greeny. It has to be. In the back of your mind, you're always going to be conscious of the minutes that he's playing, especially when you play 8 games in 15 days. Now, you're going to make a push for the playoffs, but you still have to monitor that. So some games, he might play over 40 minutes, depending upon how good he feels in the game. If you have a back-to-back, you might have to give him a little bit rest, considering that you might have a game a day later. So, look, I think you're just take your foot off the gas for a second if you're Alvin Gentry, and then put your foot back on the gas. You have to be able to change it up and shift gears with Zion Williamson all the time.
You know, it's funny, for all of us who watched Last Dance, we were all reminded of when this happened with Michael. I mean, when Jordan came back from the foot, obviously the driver of the circumstances were different, yeah. But when Jordan came back from the foot and they were limiting his minutes and it made him crazy, but he managed to play those minutes and he got his team then into the playoffs. Ultimately, you go ahead, Jay.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was going to say one thing, though. Jordan was 6'6".
Yeah.
I mean, what, 210 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about a guy that's, you know, 240, 250, you know, over that. So, and he's 6'6". So, in his game, that reckless abandon is meant for attacking the rim. So, it increases his chances, yeah. That percentage of having those kind of, you know, issues. So, that, different style of game, though.
100%. So, I will then go back to something you said an hour ago when we were talking about him, again, on his 20th birthday. And that is, I agree with you. He's been better than I expected. We all knew he'd be a good player coming into the NBA. What he showed on the floor in the time that he did it, I will fully grant, was better than I was expecting. He projects to be a spectacular player. What's the upside for this guy? If this guy is able to stay healthy, if he is able to play something in the neighborhood of 70 games a season, you know, full minutes, and has a full career, at his best, what is he? Is he capable of being one of the 2 or 3 best players in the league?
I think he has a shot at it. I mean, I know if he's able to stay healthy, he's a Hall of Famer. Even if he doesn't stay healthy, even if his minutes get limited somewhat throughout the course of his career, he's going to put up Hall of Fame numbers just off the sheer effort that he plays with every single night combined with his athletic ability. And that's just saying that his game stays stagnant. If his game continues to improve, he could definitely be one of the best players in the league. As it relates to championships, Greeny, which ultimately we like to compare to greatness, that's going to be dependent upon who his GM is and who his coach is surrounding him with the right talent. But I do want to say this, and I know it's Zion Williamson's birthday. For everything being said, Zion Williamson has had an incredible year. But I don't want people to forget, Ja Morant is going to be your rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. And he's had a spectacular year as well. And it's going to be great to see how these two teams battle in Orlando down the stretch for who gets that eighth seed. It's going to be incredible to watch.
A lot of great young talent in the NBA, but clearly the star, the spotlight has been on Zion. He's handled it really well. He's 20 years old today. He is a physical marvel unlike anything that we've ever seen before, and his prime is probably still 5 years away, so we will see. All right, J. Will, outstanding. Thank you, my friend. Let's get back to the NFL here, where over the weekend, former wide receiver Dez Bryant posted some very interesting thoughts about Tyreek Hill on Twitter, and he wrote, "You can't have these conversations." He was part of a bigger topic that he was getting into, but essentially the most important part of it is at the very end. He says, "I think he," meaning Tyreek Hill, "is the best player in the league outside of Mahomes." Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and Dominique and Rob Ninkovich are with me here. And let's put aside the notion that he might be the second best player in the league. Is he, Dominique, as a person who made your living covering wide receivers, is he, in your opinion, the best wide receiver in the NFL?
I mean, it's hard to find somebody that's better than him. I would go probably Julio is a little bit more threatening of a player because he has the size, but Julio doesn't have the quickness that Tyreek has. And Tyreek's speed, man, that breaks defenses. As I said earlier in the show, it's not football speed. Like, he's fast for a track athlete, and that changes everything. You put on top of it the fact that you can't really press him. He changes directions quickly. He's a dangerous guy. He tracks the ball well. All the things that you want a receiver to have, with the exception of maybe height, Tyreek Hill has. And you pair him with possibly the best quarterback we've ever seen. I know that I would lose more sleep preparing for Tyreek Hill than any other receiver in the league. Maybe Julio Jones, but that's it.
Now, when we make the list of the best receivers in the sport over the last 2 or 3 years, it feels like the usual suspects are names like Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins. Tyreek Hill's name does not usually wind up on that list. Has that, Dominique, been an oversight in your mind? Is he a guy who should be talked about in exactly the same way we talk about those guys?
I absolutely think so. I think he is one of the keys to that offense. They have a lot of talented players, which is, I think he gets overshadowed, but he might quite possibly, even including what they have in Kelsey, he might be the most unique player, because that ability to get off of press coverage and then also outrun the defenders, it's something that requires the attention of two defensive backs, and that opens up a lot of other things for other guys. And it's not just that he's a deep threat. You can get him the ball on reverses. You can get him on a quick screen, and he might take that to the crib. He's a dangerous, dangerous player that I think when you are sitting in your meeting room preparing to stop the Chiefs, that might be the first player that I'm looking at trying to figure out how to slow down and take that deep threat ability away from that offense.
Rob Ninkovich, if you were starting a team, having played defense in the NFL all those years, if you were starting a team, could pick any one wide receiver to be your lead guy on your team, current player, which guy would you take?
I'm going Julio Jones, and that's because, look, the guy's 6'3", and he's fast. And you talk about longevity. How long can Tyreek Hill play at a high level if he loses a step? I remember back to the Super Bowl, this catch on the sideline, I was literally standing right there, and I thought it was overthrown. The last game I played in, I thought, man, we're losing this game because of this catch. Puts them in field goal position. We all know what happens next. They throw the ball twice, they get sacked, and have to punt it back to us. But just that alone, the plays that he's able to make with his size, as you get older in the NFL, you're not going to be as fast as you were when you're in your mid-20s. That's just not going to happen. So a guy that can play 10-plus years at 6'3", can go up and get the ball, runs great routes, I'm going Julio Jones. I love Tyreek. I think he's a game changer, and he is very fast. But with the size, if he loses a step, I don't think it's a problem when you have a guy that's not 6'3".
So again, Neek, your job was to cover these guys. If we were to sort of define them, we would say Tyreek Hill is defined by his speed. Right. Odell is defined by his hands. Julio is defined by his size and athleticism. DeAndre Hopkins is kind of a little bit of all of them. Which is the most difficult thing to deal with from a cornerback's perspective when the guy has that one ability?
Well, I think it's probably the speed. I think the speed is the most difficult thing, because if you feel comfortable enough with your speed versus the receiver's speed, you feel fine sitting on routes. You can't sit on any route that Tyreek Hill is going to run. Like, you can take your chances if you want and try to stop a third down out or a third round crossing route, but that might, he might run past you and you won't be able to catch him. These guys are very good and very talented and fast in their own right, but I think there are plenty of corners that feel comfortable with getting aggressive in short yardage situations or third down situations. Nobody does that to Tyreek Hill. If you see people getting up to press Tyreek Hill, it's either Jalen Ramsey or you got a safety over top. No one is getting up there. I know you can't see it in the TV copy, but when you go watch the coach's film, nobody is getting up in Tyreek Hill. No, Tyreek Hill's face. Nobody is sitting on Tyreek Hill on third down unless a safety is rolling over the top, and that is terrifying. I understand what Rob's saying. If he loses a step, then maybe he'll be the second fastest person in the league. Like, he's still going to be blazing.
And shame on me. I left Michael Thomas out of the conversation. Yeah, there. I thought of him when I just was doing that off the top of my head. Michael Thomas, who last year had one of the great receiving seasons in the history of the sport. Ninkovich, which guy keeps you guys worried all week long? When you and your defensive coordinators are together in your meetings all week long and you're getting ready for the game on Sunday, which guy is it that makes you the most nervous all week long?
Well, you'd have to go with the guy that could at any point in the game score a touchdown. And that's, you got to go with Tyreek in that situation when you could just run a go route and your quarterback could just throw it up, and he's going to go up underneath it and catch that thing. So when you have a guy that's that fast, it lets everybody else in the intermediate routes, like your Travis Kelce, eat, because he's one-on-one with a linebacker, and you have your safeties worried about somebody stretching the field. So that's what makes Kansas City's offense work so well. They have a receiver that can stretch vertically all the defensive coverage.
Yes,
they have a quarterback that can throw it to him at any moment. I think we might be having a different conversation if Tyreek Hill wasn't in Kansas City and had a guy who can throw it 60 yards across his body, because there's also situations where you'll cut a receiver loose because you know the quarterback can't throw that far. You don't have that situation in Kansas City.
I've been saying for years that if I were to pick one guy, it would be DeAndre Hopkins, and now he finds himself, when he had Deshaun healthy, their numbers were spectacular. Let's watch what DeAndre Hopkins does this year in Arizona. Sneaky pick to have one of the best seasons in the NFL. Meanwhile, one of the best moments of the weekend, one of the best moments you've seen in a long time. You always love these. Steelers running back James Conner surprising his mom, Kelly Bibbs, with a new house. Conner's brothers helped pull off the surprise. He also surprised his dad with a new truck last month. Dominique, your thoughts?
Oh, no, that's awesome. I always love seeing this. I never get tired of it. I was fortunate when I signed my deal with Baltimore. I was in a position where I could buy a new house for my parents and then subsequently buy them cars. Right now, they're waiting for their Peloton to come. It's on back order. So I love being able to treat my parents. They did a great job taking care of me. So it feels great to see other people be able to do it. And it feels great to continue to be able to do it. I got three kids, so they better get to work, because somebody better take care of me when I'm old.
Ninkovich, you have that experience?
I'm a huge James Conner fan. I think it's awesome to see guys when they can give back to their parents. You know, I gave my dad a used truck, one of my trucks. That was nice, a nice gift. I helped out with some landscaping. I think that was very nice of me. I wasn't in the position to buy a home. I mean, you know, I played for the Patriots, so yeah, there was a discount involved there. So, you know,
not too late, Rob. It's not too late.
Well, I got to keep working now. Come on now. Yeah. Again, I think it's awesome. I love to see it. Guys, you know, you work really hard to put yourself in a position to give back to your parents. You wouldn't be in the position that you're at if it wasn't for your parents. So, you know, I'm in my mom's house right now. Well, hey, Ma. Yeah, she's up there, you know, making some breakfast for me.
Meatloaf.
Very good. There you have it.
Meatloaf.
Myself, I was never anything more than a financial liability to my family when I was that age. Oh. So I never had that particular experience. All right, as we continue in a moment, if Tom Brady is going to win a seventh title, he's going to have to do it with a new offense and a new coach. We now know what the offense is going to look like, and you'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and in the move of the NFL offseason, Tom Brady left New England to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and play for that man, Bruce Arians, the six-time Super Bowl champion, joining a team that's won just one championship in its franchise history. And the pairing of the 43-year-old Brady and Bruce Arians will be interesting to follow. And Brady may have to change his approach playing under Arians, who was once quoted as saying, "No risk it, no biscuit." Brady is not one who risks it much and doesn't air it out a lot. He ranked 26th in air yards per pass attempt last season. Arians quarterbacks have generally finished among the league leaders. Again, to be clear, he likes to throw it down the field. That's not necessarily been Brady's forte lately. Jenna Lane covers the Buccaneers for us. Jenna, what are you hearing about how the Bucs and Brady may fit together?
Greeny, we talk about collaboration so much with Arians and Brady, and there's two ways that they really can do this. One is in the play calling, right? With Brady, he likes those three-step drops, right? And we know Bruce Arians is all about taking those five and seven-step drops. But what I'm hearing is that there's going to be more of those three-step drops. There's going to be more elements that are going to be taken from what they're doing in New England that are going to be incorporated into this offense because that's really where Brady's comfort level is. I'm also hearing that they're going to be getting the tight end involved a lot more and doing so vertically. But then you're also going to see the marriage between the two really take off when it comes to game planning. Before games on Friday in those meetings, if there is a play that Brady doesn't like, and this is the same with all of Arians' quarterbacks, if he does not like a play, it'll be vetoed. If he doesn't like a play on first down, it's out of there. And so the quarterback has a very active role in game planning in this, not just in play calling. Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich say they design plays with the quarterback in mind, but it's also about what's the plays that are actually being called as well. Yeah, it's all about his comfort level.
Yeah, Arians has been traditionally a coach that quarterbacks love. Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, is a former quarterback, and he's definitely viewed, I think, as someone who is rising in the profession, which leads the question, what input does Tom Brady have as far as all this is? I think a lot of us just looked at it and said, well, Brady will just bring whatever he wants offensively anywhere he goes. What do you think it actually looks like as far as the collaboration?
Well, it won't quite be that because this is a team that doesn't have a full offseason together because of COVID-19. It's going to be much easier to teach one player a new system versus an entire roster. But with that being said, Byron Leftwich understands his job here. He views this as a partnership, and these two have spent a lot of time talking, a lot of time together. Even though it's virtually, they have spent a lot of time together talking about ideas. They played in the same area. One thing that I think will really help Brady is the fact that not only has Leftwich played quarterback in this system under Arians, he's also played in three other systems, so he knows what it's like to step into a new offense for the first time and to do it as a veteran. So he can act as a translator. It's a copycat league. There's only so many offenses that have been created, and they're often variations of other ones. So he can act as a translator when it comes to the learning phase of all this. But also, you're looking at a coach and a quarterback. The quarterback understands very much what's happening with the quarterback emotionally. The night before games, he's going to be checking in with him to see, how are you feeling? Are you comfortable with what's being run here? They will very much be on the same page on game day.
All right, really well done. Jenna Lane, thank you very much. Let me bring our guys back in here. Neek and Rob Ninkovich, of course, you played with Tom and all of that. And you know, Byron is a guy that most of us know and have known for a while. He's a guy I think is projecting to be a head coach at some point in the NFL. How do you expect, Rob Ninkovich, this marriage to work out with Brady going down there with as little official preparation time as they will have based upon the circumstances?
Well, I can tell you this, they're not going to be my way or the highway type attitudes. It can't work that way. So they have to be able to come together, agree on what they want to run. Look, it's going to be a back and forth. You have Tom Brady, who's played 20 years in the NFL. You trust him to go out there on the field and put your offense in the best possible play with what the defense gives you. And if you're Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, you give Tom Brady two plays and he doesn't want to run those plays because the defense looks like they're weak in one area and he wants to run a different play, you let Tom Brady change the offense and run a play that he thinks is best to win the football game. I think there's going to be trust there. He's earned it through his 20-year career and the things he's been able to do. And I think that Bruce Arians is going to give him the freedom to do that. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that's saying, it's my way, it's my offense, this is the way we're going to run it. You're going to let Tom Brady go out there and do the things that he does best, and that's win and manage the game appropriately to put the team in the best position to win.
Not only that, but Dominique, last week on this show, Marcus Spears said, putting Tom Brady in a position where he's going to get hit a lot is a fireable offense. And generally speaking, I know it's an oversimplification, but it makes sense. Three-step drops, you get hit a lot less than right. You do when that guy's dropping seven steps and looking to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, but they're not really built for that. I understand that they have some playmakers, which seems better than what he had in New England. But they did have the type of guys that a three-step drop offense would be would work for. So, like, Evans and Godwin are kind of deep down the field guys. They both had 1,000 yards last year because their quarterback, Jameis Winston, was willing to stand in the pocket, get hit, and also willing to take chances and throw up some 50-50 balls on occasion. That's not Tom Brady. So everyone's going to have to get used to each other. And I'm not sure that Tom Brady is – I'm absolutely sure that Tom Brady is going to get hit more this season than he has in the past, because I think some of those deeper 5-7-step drops is what's best for the playmakers that they have on this offense. So they're going to have to risk it if they plan on getting deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. The no risk it, no biscuit thing. But we always associate Brady, first of all, with the tight ends down the middle of the field. He's right, got those. And then with the little slot receiver, you know, whether it's your Wes Welker or your Julian Edelman, is Godwin a guy who can be that guy, Dominique?
Well, he doesn't look like those guys necessarily for a number of different reasons, but he has some quickness. I think potentially he could make it work in the slot, but that hasn't been primarily where they focus. But I could see Godwin having a better season than Mike Evans this year and being more integral to the offense than even Mike Evans, because Mike Evans absolutely is not a quick change direction guy.
Right. That's what I was. You're not putting Evans in that slot at his size. All right. Outstanding. Dominique is getting set to do First Take. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN. He and Stephen A. with much more on Cam Newton's arrival to New England. First Take, top of the hour, 5 minutes away, right here on ESPN. Our coverage of MLS continues Wednesday with a doubleheader. First, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Orlando City faces Inter Miami. Then at 10:30 Eastern, Nashville faces the Chicago Fire. It's MLS Wednesday on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And I will mention we were going to start having some soccer games in the mornings here on ESPN. We may be moving our time of our show up an hour a few days. But again, we'll be here with you every single morning regardless, bringing you all the latest news from sports and hopefully a few laughs along the way. And very quickly, I'm just seeing this note here from Jeff Passan. The Washington Nationals canceling their workouts today as results from their Friday coronavirus tests still have not come in. More details as the day continues. First Take with Neek and Stephen A. starts now.